Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Okay, guys. Fantastic worship. Love what Lloyd does for us. That was amazing. And just before we move on, I just want to say a big thank you to Angela Grant right now, who's heading up our children's work. If you don't know, the children have their own breakout room now. So they have, we're doing children's work at this time. I think Joe helps her. Who else helps her? Mondi gets involved with that too. Jess too. These people are putting themselves out to look after our kids. And it's just wonderful. They're loving it. The kids are loving it. So can we all honour them and give them a big round of applause for what they do, guys? It's really good to appreciate them. And well done, guys. We thank you for all that you do. And that. And but now we're going to move into something that isn't so happy. And I don't know whether you've seen the video of George Floyd and what happened with him. If you haven't, I would say that you need to watch it. You need to watch it all and hear what went on. I've got to say that I watched it myself. And as that policeman had his knee on George's neck, and the guy cried out for, and he just said, "I can't breathe." Do you know what? It's like everything in me was like, why is nobody pushing the copper off? Why is he not? Why is no one stepping in? And I felt physically sick as I watched it. And, you know, it's caused revulsion in the black communities, quite rightly, the white communities around the world. We've seen outrage. We've seen demonstrations everywhere in London, Australia, out there in America, obviously. People protesting in cities around the world. And the reason is because it's wrong. And every ounce of our bodies, doesn't matter whether you're black, white, or anything in between, everything in us cries out, this is wrong. And what it does, it raises for those, particularly in the black community, although we did have a meeting the other day and we saw white and other ethnic minorities in tears over it. It's affected everybody. But the pain rises up particularly in the black community because of the oppression and the injustices that they have suffered in their life. And you know what? Before anything, we were called to plant a multicultural church up here. And so this is part of who we are, to help deal with this stuff, to help the whole thing come to some kind of positive outcome one day. We know that it will, but for now, it isn't there. Now is the time to release the pain, to talk about what has gone on, get that dialogue going, get that conversation moving forward. And so I'm going to ask Veronica to come on so that we can hear how this has affected Veronica. And so, hi, Veronica.
Hi, morning.
Okay. And so what we would like to hear on behalf of the whole black community and anyone listening in, really it's just to personalize it and say you've seen the pictures, you've seen what happened, and let us know how that has affected you. What emotions rose up? How have you experienced similar stuff to George Floyd?
Well, I can't talk for everybody else because, you know, every black person has had their, you know, different experiences of racism, whether it's higher or lower. But for me, when I saw something, I wasn't going to watch the video, and something prompted me to have a look at it. And all I wanted to do was cry. Even as you were talking, my eyes were prickling up again. And I just felt so much pain. I just felt like I felt like there was a knife in my heart, and then it's almost like somebody had moved it slightly again, you know, and it was just, it was just so, I can't really put it into words how painful it is actually to see it. And even though it's in America, for me, the murder of George Floyd, it didn't just represent what's happening in the police force, it represented what's happening in all these different institutions and just in life in general. It was just everything. And, you know, as a leader, I just kept thinking, oh my gosh, can I talk about this? I felt gagged, in fact, because as a leader, you know, we're supposed to be role models and, you know, present ourselves in a mature way. And I couldn't shut my mouth up, basically. I could not shut my mouth up about it. And, you know, whether it's in conversation with people, whether it's on social media, I felt like I'd been gagged. I felt gagged. And it was like it was ripped off. And I just, everything just came to the surface. Everything was just coming up. Everything, all the injustices of years and years and years and years, whether it's on myself, whether it's on other people, it all just came up. And it's so painful. It's so, I can't put it into words, really. I really can't put it into words. Yeah. You know, there's anger, there's sadness, there's frustration that is still going on in the year 2020. Why is this still going on? You know, I don't get it. Why as a black person, I'm still experiencing this, you know, it's, you know, I don't understand, if I'm honest, I don't understand why it's still going on. And it's horrible. It's just really, really horrible. I mean, my dad, you know, he was in the army, and I'm sure he experienced lots of racism, but he never told me about it, actually. He never told me a word. I was raised on, you know, just living my normal family values. He never told me. It was later on I started to learn what the world is like. And it's just a horrible world that we live in. But, you know, as a Christian, I have to remind myself, this is worldly values and not Christian values. Yep. So, you know, I know that God is love, and I know that he loves me and he loves us. And, you know, I do believe that these things, you know, although I hate what has happened, you know, I kind of was thinking about it, and I just thought, you know what, when Jesus died, his death was a sacrifice. Yeah. It was a sacrifice. And with that sacrifice, change happened, you know. Because the truth was revealed. All those people who didn't believe what was going on with Jesus and his miracles, you know, the truth was revealed. And it started to transform lives. And I feel like now, although, you know, I'm still upset, but I do believe this is going to transform lives. I believe that, you know, it's not going to stop. It definitely isn't going to stop. People are going to carry on with this in some shape or form. But I think, you know, people mustn't be afraid to talk about it. People mustn't be defensive about it, because it's so painful. It is. I'm sitting here, I want to hold my heart. You know, I can't describe how painful it is, you know. It's horrible, you know. And, you know, I just want to read a text from a friend. She sent me this text, and I've worked with her in the prisons. And, you know, I didn't read this text straight away because, you know, loads of people. And she just texted me, said, "Veronica, my thoughts and prayers have been with you, your family and community. As the world becomes more aware of injustice and miscommunication, love, Colleen." And I was so touched, you know, because I think, you know, she reached out to me, and bless her, she's South African, and she's lived through it. And yeah, I think, yeah, don't be afraid to talk about it. And don't be surprised if people at different levels, some people might come to you really angry and don't take it personal. That's what I would say. Don't take it personal, because it's really painful. You know, and I think educate as well, you know, get to know us, get, talk to us, get to know, don't assume you know what's going on for us, come and talk to us. And you know, because I don't see every white person as a racist. And even when some comments come out, you can tell who's overtly racist and who says it and just didn't even realize that that might offend. You know, you can tell. You can actually tell. So I think it's not something to be afraid of, because, you know, this change is coming. And although it's been amplified in the US, it happens in the UK. We've seen Grenfell. We've seen Windrush. We see it in the workplace. We see it in schools. We look at exclusions. We see it in the prisons. So it's everywhere. I think it's just, you know, just for people to be understanding.
Yeah.
Don't avoid the subject. You know, it's going to be there all the time, and people are going to want to talk. And you know, don't pander to negative stereotypes as well. Yeah. Not even for a joke. Just don't do it. You know, just don't. And you know, I'm just thinking about this Bible verse. I wrote it down. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it.
Yeah.
If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So we talk a lot about honor in the church. And at the moment, there's a big part of us who are really, really suffering. And please, you know, be with us in that suffering. And just try. I know you may never understand, but try to understand. Try to empathize. You know, just like when Jesus died, maybe you can't understand the pain he was going through, but we try to empathize, don't we, with that pain that he went through. And it's the same. It's the same. We're just in a lot of pain right now. But, you know, once we get through the pain, you know, I mean, even now I'm taking breaths and I'm still a bit like, oh, gosh, even to have this platform to talk. You know, I remember when, you know, we're talking about, and I was like, do you know what, I don't even know what to say. I'm not used to be given a platform to talk about race. I'm not used to it. Simple as. I'm really not used to it. So, but it was nice. It was nice to have that space for somebody to say, do you know what, like, let's acknowledge this, you know. But, you know, and I'm pleased to say that, you know, in the leadership, you know, I was looking at the leadership the other day and I was like, right, you know, it's pretty much 50-50. We had a lot of black representation and white. But, you know, I think as leaders, we need to educate ourselves as much as possible. And yeah, just educate and talk about it and examine behaviours. If, you know, if there's any behaviour that, you know, ask God to reveal if there's any behaviours that are not right that you might have been displaying. And just simply through ignorance and just not knowing that, you know, it's hurtful. I mean, I haven't really experienced it here, but it happens, you know, because it's not just in the police, it's in churches, it's everywhere. So,
amen. Yeah. Okay, well done, V. I'm not going to clap because I don't think it's an applause kind of deal. What I would love to do now is to lead us into a time of repentance. This is the beginning of a conversation that we're going to, you know, what we're going to need is grace. Don't expect everyone to speak perfectly, because that's the very thing that shuts mouths, that I've got to speak perfectly, then I can speak. We want black people to speak. We want white people to speak, and everyone in between to be able to talk about it. And it's gonna need a lot of grace in that, as we all work out what language is good, as we work out this whole thing together on our journey as a multicultural church, and how we can help the communities as well. So it's gonna start with repentance. And I believe that's for all of us in different ways with this. And so if you're with me on this, just follow me in this prayer. And so, Lord Jesus, Lord, I repent of the times when I've been indifferent about black struggles, Lord, particularly black today, guys. You know, the times I've turned my head when I could have stepped in, the times when I've been silent, when I could have said something. Lord, I'm sorry for that. Lord, the times that I've judged someone else because of the colour of their skin or just because they're different from me. Lord, I don't want to be like that. God, I don't want to be like that. You weren't like that, God. You went to the Samaritan woman. And with all that held, the stigma that came upon you because you did that. And Lord, I thank you that we've got a pattern to follow. We've got a God who knows everything that we go through. You suffered. You went through everything we went through and are going through. And Lord, so we follow you into that. Lord, and we come to your cross. Ask us, forgive us, Lord, for all our wrongs. And Lord, I pray as a white man that would you forgive the sins of our ancestors that were so bad, Lord, the atrocities against black people, Lord, from all nations, Lord. Lord, where they just treated them more like animals than people, Lord. And some of it still goes on today as we see it. In the West here, we think, how on earth can that still go on? But it does. And to a degree out here as well, Lord, in the UK and other nations, Lord, the things we don't see, Lord, forgive us, Lord, forgive us. And Holy Spirit, I pray, come upon us now, God. Come upon each person. Lord, flood into hearts, minds. Lord, we pray for healing, Lord, that the anger would subside and it would become a power force for transformation and change. Lord, that understanding would come. Give us revelation. Holy Spirit, I just believe the Holy Spirit is coming on so many right now. I sense that God is saying to each one, I'm here. I'm here. I know what's in your heart. And so many of you got stuff there that you've ignored for years. You've stuffed under the carpet. And the Lord said, look, just let it come. Let it come out. Let it free you up. Let it release you. God, this Holy Spirit is working in your heart right now to bring that peace. To bring that peace. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. And Angela's got a little bit more to add. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Do it, God. Do it, Lord.
Yeah, I just felt that what Veronica said at the end, that let this be a time where we can share with one another so that we can understand one another. Because this is not a black issue. It's a family, it's a kingdom issue, because God created us in his image. And I just wanted to quote this. I heard this in an interview with Randy Clark. And a guy called Sean Smith quoted Black Panther in the Marvel movie. He said, in times of conflict, the foolish build barriers, but the wise build bridges. And I just believe that this is the time where God wants to build bridges, so that where people felt like Veronica said, she felt like she was gagged and she was unable to speak. And I just feel like God has taken that off, and he wants us to be able to share openly and vulnerably so that we can do this together, because it's like this is something we do together to see God's kingdom come, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're Chinese like myself, whatever color in between, whatever diversity. It's about doing this together, and then we represent God's family. So, Lord, do it, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, that we are in a time like this, that we are born for a time like this, Lord. And we are all part of making history, that your story, everyone here, your story is part of his story. Amen. So do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Bring reconciliation, bring healing, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Right, guys. So can we just all stand? Let's just everyone stand as we, we just, you know what, like Veronica said, we are a church that really values the culture of honouring one another, and we want to just honour you, Clive, today. I know you're going to speak, you know, from the heart today, what God's put in your heart, but I just want to just, for myself, I just want to say thank you, because you're a man of integrity, and and I haven't met anyone before that loves people as much as you do, Clive. And you love people regardless of their backgrounds, their race, their social status. And I just thank you. I just want to thank you, Clive, for sharing Jesus to me and many of us here today, because we wouldn't be here today as a family looking the way we do if it wasn't for you and Debbie loving on us. So just want to honor you today. Amen.
Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Angela. Now I've got a preach after that. Oh dear. But perhaps it is a time for tears, and that because this issue has just hit the heart of every person I know. And what do you say to that? Let's just get the job done today, I think. And that's where I'm at. And praise the Lord. Okay, well, we're going to continue our series through Hebrews, and we're going to be looking at Genesis 4, 1-7. We're going to call this talk today, I Did It My Way. Okay, I Did It My Way. And Angela, I believe, is going to read that if she can, unless you want me to read it. Angela, are we going over?
It's okay. I can do it. Okay, so I'm reading from Genesis 4, 1-7, and it goes like this. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favour on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favour. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it seems to me, guys, that the world has gone completely mad out there, and everyone at this time is doing their own thing. They're ignoring good advice and doing whatever they want to do. That's what's going on. I mean, if you look at the likes of Donald Trump, you know, disregarding what his advisors had said to him, you know, he tear gassed a bunch of peaceful protesters, tear gassed them so he could walk through it, and then at the end of it, hold up a Bible next to a church as if he was the holy and thou man. And it's like, Donald, you need to read the Bible. Don't just hold it, read it and see what's in it. It's all about peace, it's all about love, and it's all about harmony. And as far as I can tell, there's nothing in there about tear gas, Donald. There you go, from me. Look at that. And then there was another incident a few weeks ago when we're just into lockdown and no one could come out and that, there was a bunch of people, 80 people, that decided, you know, stuff what the World Health Organization say, we're going to meet together, you know, we're going to do our own thing. And so they did. They gathered indoors and that, and we've been a couple of days, 2 days, 3 days, 60 of them had come down with the virus, and within a couple of weeks from there, two of them had died of the virus, ignoring all the advice that was given to them. And so I thought, you know what, in for a penny, in for a pound, I'm going to have a go at that as well. So today, I'm going to do a little sermon today, totally ignoring all that God says, and I'm going to call it this. It's how to backslide in 3 easy steps. Okay, look at that. Cool. Okay. So step one, this. Don't bother praying anymore. Don't go there. Don't spend time with God. And yeah, just don't do it. Okay. Yeah, there's one. That's your first step there. And then there's don't tithe anymore. Don't do that. Spend your money instead on strong drink. Do a bit of that. And then there's, don't watch out for each other anymore. No, don't do that. No, go and watch some dodgy films that you've, late night films that you find on Netflix. Well, I reckon that should do it, don't you? You know? So here we go. Now I've got your attention, which I'm sure I have through that little lot. That's exactly what we see Cain and Abel doing there. Cain doing in this story of Cain and Abel. You see, as we unfold the story there, Cain and Abel are two brothers. They were brought up in the same kind of family. And it came to the time in their life where they had to bring sacrifices to God for themselves. And Abel sacrificed his firstborn son, his firstborn of his flock. And that pleased God. God was happy. Abel had listened to his parents and did what his parents said. Wouldn't that be a great turnaround today if that happened? But then Cain brought his sacrifice, and it was the fruit of the ground. It was him doing his own thing, and God didn't accept that because there was a problem with that. And the problem was given in Hebrews 9:22, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so Cain ignored all that his mum and dad had said. He ignored the fact that God, by his Holy Spirit, would have been speaking to him, just like he did with Enoch, Abraham, Moses, David, and the others. He ignored all that and thought, you know, I'm going to worship God my way, his way. And he thought somehow that God would be impressed by what he did. He would be impressed by it. And God wasn't impressed by it at all. And God said, well, look, Cain, I'm going to give you a second chance. Surely it says there, why has your face fallen? So his face had fallen, kind of smacked bum face, we call it in the trade. God saw that, and he said, Cain, surely if you do right, then you'll be accepted. But Cain decided not to, and he followed the way of arrogance and pride. He gave into it, ended up in self-pity, and had a bitter heart, angry at everybody, and he ended up killing his brother. And so what happened there was that Cain didn't learn his lessons. He didn't learn. And one of the most important decisions that we can make in life is to be teachable. Are you teachable? It is to be teachable. That's what we should be. We are to choose in our life this lifelong journey we've got between now and when we go to be with the Lord, to keep learning, to keep growing, to keep being shaped by God at the end of it. The truth is this: if we don't learn our lessons today, then the same mistakes that we made yesterday are going to be made tomorrow. And surely that's what happened with George Floyd. The same mistakes that were being made 50 years ago when Dr. Martin Luther King got up and he said, I'm looking for a day. I dream of a day, he said. I dream of a day when it's going to be peace and joy. And we're all together as one. 50 years on, we haven't learned a thing out there. Surely it's time to learn, as Veronica said this morning. Learn that we don't make the same mistakes again. Surely we've got to help our next generation not do what we have done, what we've seen on the TV. They're the ones who need not to be angry. We need to help them through. Learn our lessons. And so don't be like Cain, who was rejected by God. Proverbs 23:12 says this, that apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. God wants us to grow. He wants us to be strengthened and he wants us to become mature. And God wants us to be like Abel. Abel had a humble heart, a heart that was ready to learn. And learning means that you're going to be better in life, a better leader, a better mum, a better dad, a better friend to your friends. Become more fruitful in life as you learn. You know, learning is the doorway to everything in life. Read books. They will open your mind, transform your mind. And as you learn about God, the most important thing to learn about, that's where wisdom comes from. The fear of God is the first place we go. Then God starts to give us something we can't learn by ourselves. It's called revelation. God imparts into us a knowledge, an understanding, a discernment that comes from him alone, that will carry us into a deeper relationship with him. Surely that's where we want to be. You see, Abel learned. He learned what God likes, and he knew how to approach God. And because of that, Abel's story will be celebrated and is in Hebrews 11, and it will be for the whole of eternity. And I love learning. I read in books, I listen to podcasts, I come alongside guys and ladies that are further down the line to me so that I can learn. I love what I've learned, but do you know what? The most wisest people I know say words like this: the more that I know, the more that I realize I don't know, the more that I realize the little that I do know. And so how are you doing this morning? Are you committed to learn in this journey called life? Because it's never too late to start. It starts in a moment where you go, that's it. I'm not going to be the drudgery old same old me. It's going to be, no, I'm going to be learning, transforming, taking new ground, becoming that new person that God wants me to be. Where are you on that journey? You see, the truth is that Cain's worship was false worship. You know, false worship is worshipping God in a way that doesn't please him. And Cain's offering, in all reality, I'll say this, that one theologian said this, that I respect. He said, when it comes to the Bible, God says what he means and he means what he says. So get into the Bible, see what it says. But as we look at Cain's offering is nothing but religion. Religion is what we can do for God, and all other religions follow that. You know, whether they've got to pray 4 or 5 times a day or whatever it is they've got to do to appease and keep God happy, that's what they can do, what we can do for God. That's religion. Christianity is not that. Christianity is what God has already done for us. And what he has done for us, he died on the cross for our salvation, that we could be forgiven of our sins. His blood alone, Jesus alone, by his blood alone, on the cross alone, is what forgives us. and gives us boldness as we approach God as our Father. That's Christianity. And out of that, we do things out of thankfulness and out of love. You see, Cain's approach was dishonoring to God, dishonoring to who he is, the God of the universe, dishonoring to what he asks us to do. And what he asks of us is to bring him the best. He's, you know, you see Abel there. He came to God. He approached God with the firstborn of his flock. God said to Moses, he said, Moses, bring me the first fruits of what you have. He said to Solomon in Proverbs 3:9, bring the first fruits of all your produce to me. And so God asks us for the same thing. He wants the first fruits. He wants the best of us, not the last dregs. You know, no one likes leftovers, do they? No one likes eating the scraps of what others have had. Well, God as well doesn't want the scraps of our lives. He's our Father. He wants the best of his children, our love, our time with him. He wants quality time with us. And so let's ask ourselves, ask you, are you worshipping God his way, or are you worshipping God somehow your own way? You know, are we worshipping God with a humble heart, honestly giving him the first fruits of our time, not that widgy little bit of 5 minutes a day or whatever. The first fruits, the first fruits of our effort. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the Bible said, and everything else will be added. I know so many people that spend their life going for the added and they never get it. And there's no God there. Do you get it the right way around? Or even our finances. Are we giving the first fruits or the dregs of what's left over? Like Cain did. And so the problem comes in this. Okay, verse 7 says this, that if we don't do that, Cain, sin is crouching at the door. That's what he said. And so sin is the problem. And so that word crouching means hiding itself. So sin is something that kind of like tries to hide itself, make itself look real small. But you touch it and boom, it comes out like a monster that wants to devour you. And those of us that have had times of that in our life, which I guess is all of us, that we will know that devourer it wants to do. And so the problem is, Jeremiah said, 17:9, that our hearts are deceitful and desperately sick beyond healing. And so let's just get real with each other. That as we go through this life, that anger tends to rise up at times. Things upset us. Jealousy can rise up in our hearts. Lust can rise up in our hearts. Greed can rise up in our hearts. And the idea there is to repent of it when we see it. Take it to God. That's what the cross was all about, to defeat the power of sin. When we go to him in repentance, the power of sin is broken. We are to take it to him. And you see, what we have now is the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in our heart. Picture your heart right now. Spirit of God, come and reveal this. The very reason God never causes things to make us angry, jealous, or any of the other stuff, but he will use it. And as these things rise up in our heart and we recognize that they're in our heart, we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and cut them off. If we're honest with him and repentant to him, the Holy Spirit will cut it off and we will have breakthrough. We will have breakthrough in our lives and we will never be the same after that. And so as we have a breakthrough with anger, we see freedom on the other side of it. And what that is a window into heaven, in a window into the place we're never going to get angry ever again. When we have breakthrough with jealousy, Because God has cut it by his Holy Spirit. It gives us a window into all of heaven where we're never going to get jealous ever, ever again. And dare I say it, when we get breakthrough with racism, and it will come, it will be like a window into heaven where we can see and breathe, and there is no racism anymore or anything else that comes between one man and another man together ever again. It's a window into heaven. If we approach God in the right way, like Abel did. And so as I look at my life, I know I've been through many sufferings in life. But what I do know is that actual suffering coming through it the right way with God has transformed me into being something different. Into being something, actually, I look at it and think, you know, I used to hate myself. Now it's like, actually, I don't, you know, I'm becoming more of a person that I like. And that is what we're supposed to be doing as we work in repentance, forgiveness, and faith in the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 6 says this, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Rick Warren says, be humble or you will stumble. And soon enough, God will lift you up. God will lift you up. And as we see their walk, Abel walked straight into God and found his comfort. He found his love and blessing and joy. But verse 16 tells us what happened with Cain. He went away from God's presence. He was downcast and bitter, full of self-pity. You know, the victim, if you like. But it didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that way. God said, surely, if you sacrifice, surely if you do it right, you'll be the same as Abel. Guys, let's be right before God. Humble, learning. And you see, the answer is this, is that we approach God like Abel did. Yeah, we become accepted when we do that through Christ. And why did he get accepted? Because he was holy. He did it God's way. And he learned through sacrifice it was. And sacrifice, that's the whole point, is that our little bits of sacrifice are nothing without the cross. But even in the Old Testament, whether they sacrificed bulls or goats or sheep or pigeons, whatever they could afford at the time, it never appeased God. It never made him happy. It just pointed to the perfect sacrifice. That was Jesus Christ, who came to die on the cross to forgive us of all our sins. And that's how we approach God and keep him happy. And so, we can expect this. You know what? With Abel, he had a pure heart. When he went for a walk in the field with his brother Cain, there was nothing in his heart that thought, you know what, I bet Cain's jealous. He didn't think that at all. He didn't think that his brother would be angry with him. He had a pure heart. He wasn't judging his brother because he wasn't doing anything to keep God happy. He was far from God. Didn't judge him at all. Just went out for a walk with him. Didn't realize that Cain was going to kill him. He had a pure heart. And that's what we're to have. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Matthew 5 says. And so the pure in heart are those who continually learn, continually follow Jesus. They're learning about God, what God likes, what God dislikes, learning God's ways, learning to know God for who he is. And as we do that, the power of the Holy Spirit works deep within us. And our dislikes change, our motives change, and our actions change. At the end of it, we become a different person, moving from glory to glory. That's what it's all about. And we start to see God. That's what we're promised there. The pure in heart will see God. Psalm 34:8 says this, taste and see that God is good. And we have tasted God. And we know that he's good and that he is good all the time. And as we approach him in the right way, we give him the first fruits, we keep learning from him. His pleasure will be poured into our hearts. His joy will pour into our hearts. And I believe that's what God wants for us today. And so, God, we come to you, Lord, and let's just lift our hands or do whatever you want to do. I'm just going to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and kind of minister to us now. Whatever you're going through, Lord, and we do particularly lift up the Black communities today, Lord. Lord, we come to you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, that through the cross, through repentance, through forgiveness, there is a way. There is a way for us, Lord, to live in freedom, that we would taste through that window of heaven the joy, the peace, and the love. And Lord, I pray, let your Spirit come now. Take the hurts, Lord. Take the pain of injustice. Take the pain of where people abuse us and do us wrong and treat us like that we don't matter. Lord, come, Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. More of you, God. More of you, Lord. Just sense the Holy Spirit is freeing a few people up right now. Right now, pains that have been deep in your heart for many years, God's saying it's time to let them go. You can either look at them and stay with them, or you can let them go and give them to me. Let them go and give them to me. Give it to God. His Spirit is on you. His Spirit is in you right now. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Remove the pain. Remove the pain. Before we move into a time of reconciliation, Lord, remove the pain. Remove the pain. More grace, more love, Lord. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. And everyone in the house said, amen, amen. Just give Jesus a round of applause, shall we? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Over to you, Angela.